Good morning, everyone. Certainly good to see everyone out this morning. We have several that are sick and traveling, and we appreciate the visitors that have come to be with us this morning. Please open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to begin reading at verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. I'd like for us to talk a few minutes this morning about comfort in hard times. And when you read through this, we see where Paul needed comfort. He says, we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. He was at the point where he didn't want to live. When we think about some of the basic needs that we have as humans, there are two that come to mind. One is forgiveness, and the other is comfort. And only God can meet completely both of those needs. We all sin, so we all need forgiveness, and we all are going to go through hard times, and we all need comfort. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That is the peace that only God can provide. So Paul needed encouragement. He needed encouragement when he was in prison. He needed encouragement when he was out of prison. And today, we need encouragement also. We all need encouragement at various times in our life. We all suffer in this life. You think about the announcements this morning. There are so many health concerns. There are family concerns. There are natural disasters, spiritual weakness, emotional trials, problems at work. And with the announcements too, of the two that were mentioned, the one that just passed away yesterday unexpectedly, and the brother that is in the hospital, those just bring this to light. And here in our own congregation, where several have lost loved ones in the last month, we all need comfort. There's even problems in the church, in the Lord's church, and that's nothing new. As we've been studying in the book of Corinthians on Wednesday evening, you look at that church, and there was division, there was immorality, there were lawsuits between brethren, incorrect worship practices, abuse of miraculous gifts, lack of love for one another, misunderstandings about the resurrection of Christ, misuse and abuse of the Lord's Supper. That church would have been filled with hurting people. And that is one of the reasons why God inspired Paul to write this second letter to them, to give them encouragement. Because they needed to grow stronger and remain stronger and be more faithful. And encouragement would do that. So I want us to look at comfort in hard times. There are people around us that are hurting. Why is that? Because we live in a broken, fallen world, and this life is not free from hardship. Job tells us in Job chapter 5 and verse 7, "Yet man is born of trouble, and the sparks fly upward." However, what we see in life is not so much determined by our situation. It's not determined by the situation that we are in, but by how we view life, how we look at life. And we must have that Christian perspective. And if we don't, sometimes those hardships of life will beat us down. And it's during those times that we need to be encouraged. The Apostle Paul tells us, as we just read in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 5, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ." Jesus tells us in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So we need to be in Christ to have that peace. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Yet so many times we know everything in this world that is going to happen, and then it happens to us and we are surprised. Why did it happen to me? And then on top of that, Peter, he says, rejoice when that happens. Well, Peter, why should we rejoice in trials? One of the reasons is because with these hardships comes opportunities to receive God's comfort. Just think about that. How would we know of God's comfort if we did not go through a hard time? And God loves us and he wants to comfort us just like a loving father would his child. We can relate to that as a parent. Our child goes through a situation and we want to comfort them. God wants to do that to us, but if we don't go through any trials or hardship, how are we going to experience his comfort? And then sometimes when we go through those trials and hardships, how do we respond? We think, well, I don't need God. I can take care of this on my own. I can handle it. I know what to do. I've got enough wealth and I've accumulated enough things and enough possessions. I don't need God. But friends, we all need God. We all need God. Jesus said in John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." We must be connected to Christ. Without Christ, we can do nothing. And again in 2 Corinthians 1:9, "Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." So what we see in life is different than how we should view life, because we are going to see problem after problem after problem when we look out in this world, but we should view life differently than that. One of the positives of hardships have a way of bringing us to our knees and reminding us of our need for God. So just like when I said some people, when they have a situation happen, they say, "I don't need God. I can get through this on my own." God is trying to bring us to our knees to get us to realize that we need him. We think we don't need God, that's just the boastful pride of life. We all need God. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and beginning at verse 7, the Hebrew writer tells us, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with his sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of our spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us, seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed." So this concept of hardship brings us to our knees, and we realize that we need God. Again, back to the physical relationship of a father. A father, if he loves his children, is going to discipline. He is going to instruct them. If they are doing something wrong, he is going to correct them. What kind of a father would not do that? A father that did not love his children. When we do things wrong as children, and I think that's probably happened to all of us, and our fathers corrected us, did we enjoy that? I didn't. I didn't enjoy when my father chastened and disciplined and corrected me. But why did he do it? Because he loved me. And he knew without that I would be worse off, and with that I would be better off. We understand that with our earthly father. How much more so our heavenly father? Our heavenly father. Some of these hardships, again, make us get down on our knees and recognize God for who he is and what he can do for us, and that he is in control. He is in control. Just think how lonely and sad and horrible it would be if there were no God in control of things. Sometimes we don't understand things, but we understand that God is in control, and we have to put our faith and trust in him. Hebrews 4:16, the Hebrew writer says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." When we have that relationship with our Heavenly Father, we can approach him boldly. "Heavenly Father, my life is in shambles. I'm broken. I need you. I need you." And what is our Heavenly Father going to do? He's going to comfort us. We can obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I love everybody here, but I can't get that from you. That comes from God. That comes from God. And we have to turn to God. The Bible also teaches us that we can find comfort in hardship. And when we think about how can we find comfort in hardship, well, it equips us to serve others. All of us have gone through something at some time, and we think, why did God have me go through this? And then down the road, we come across somebody else that is going through the same situation. Maybe we can help them. Maybe we can comfort them. Maybe if we had not gone through this situation, this other person would not be able to make it through the situation without our help. That's why we love and exhort and encourage each other and get to know each other, so that we can help with each other's trials. When a brother or sister in Christ comforts in you in this way, what are they doing? God says that they are using the comfort which He Himself has given them in order to comfort you. So you stop and think about that. How is God going to comfort us? Is it just going to be some miraculous feeling that comes over us and, oh, I feel so much better now? Well, some of that will be we feel better because we know that our life is right with God. We know His promises are true. But a lot of that is going to be from individuals helping us. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God? When we go through something, we can help someone else. And until we experience that pain, we cannot sympathize with hurting people. There are some things that people are going through, I just cannot relate to that because I have not experienced it. But then there are things that people have going on in their lives that I've experienced, and I feel for them. I feel for them. I can talk to them. I can help them in whatever way that I can. And we recognize that again in the physical world. You think about support groups. Why are there support groups? You think about groups where it may be for divorced individuals. It may be for a spouse that has lost a spouse. It may be for a parent. For parents that have a child with a drug addiction or some kind of problem like that. I cannot understand some of those problems, but you get problems to people together that have the same problems, and they can comfort each other. They can guide somebody through the path that lies ahead for them. How do we look at life, though? How do we look? The Bible says that God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Mercies is sometimes translated compassion. But Paul distinguishes between mercy and compassion and comfort in this verse. There is a difference between the two. Compassion has more to do with understanding. We can be more compassionate when we have gone through a situation, while comfort revolves more around to tending to the needs of the person of whatever they're going through. The word comfort in Greek literally means to come alongside. The comfort. Someone goes alongside with you. They help you. That's what people do. They come alongside. The comforter listens, encourages, helps another individual in whatever way they can. James tells us in James chapter 2 and verse 15, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which is needed for the body, what does it profit? You see, it doesn't do any good to just give lip service to somebody that is hurting. We need to help them and assist them. A comforter will work to make the situation better. They'll take the initiative to go and help that person out. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verses 6 and 7, now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective, for the enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer, or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. So we can find comfort in hardship from others, the ones who have experienced the same or similar sufferings. And as we experience those sufferings, we can also experience this comfort. And then the more we are better suited to comfort others. Paul wrote, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, so that many will give thanks on our behalf. When you stop and think about that too, and Peter has a similar thought in 1 Peter 2:12, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of your visitation. When someone is going through a hardship, what do? We help them. We help them. Do we do it to be seen of men? No, we shouldn't. But what's going to happen? People are going to observe that. Many times I've heard of, like, at a funeral or a service, and like not just one congregation, but several congregations would get together and bring food for an individual. People notice that. They notice that there's something different about a Christian and wanting to help out someone that is suffering. People notice it. And Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, 1, he talks about this attitude and this response with wives submitting to husbands who are unbelievers, and doing so in such a way so that they may be won without a word by their conduct. By their conduct. People observe our conduct, and it teaches a lesson. And when we fall into a hardship, one of the things we should do is be thankful. And that's kind of sounds like it doesn't fit. And I heard someone, he was a business mentor, and he said, whenever something bad happens in business, you should be thankful and then look to see how to solve it. Because whenever something bad happens, it points out something that you need to focus on. Again, just using a business illustration, you lose the biggest customer. That's horrible news. But be thankful, because then you can find new customers to make up for that. And maybe you don't put all your eggs in this one basket. Maybe you spread it out over several. When something happens bad in our life, and even with death, how can we be thankful in that? Well, if the person has died in the Lord, we know that they have a reward waiting for them. When someone dies, it makes us focus more on our mortality, that we don't know how much longer we're going to be here. It makes us focus. We stop and we slow down for a little bit. We should be thankful that God is drawing our attention to eternity. To eternity. We may be going through something hard right now, but we don't want to lose our soul over something, and God is drawing attention to us. And God will comfort us. He will comfort us. When Paul exhorted the Philippians to take everything to God in prayer in order to get that peace that surpasses all understanding in the midst of hardship, what attitude did he tell them to have? It was an attitude of thanksgiving. An attitude of thanksgiving. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Oh, but how can I not be anxious about this? Do you know how much of a hardship this is? But Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, what we see in life is different than how we should view life. When you see things happen to people, a lot of times they'll blame God. God, why did you let this happen? Why did this happen? We should give thanks to God for God being who He is, the Creator that loves us, provides for us, has prepared a home for us, the sovereign God that is in control of all things. But when we complain about a trial, a hardship that we're going through, does that make you feel better? When you complain about a hardship, what does that do? That's just going to increase your anxiety and your worry, because you're reinforcing it. You're reinforcing it. When we choose to instead thank God for His goodness in the midst of suffering, we will have more peace. Is this hard to do? It is. It is. Are most of us not very good at doing that? I'm not very good at doing that. I need to get better. When a problem comes up, a hardship comes up, what do? I focus on that problem, that hardship. And when I focus on that hardship, that problem, what do? I forget the innumerable blessings that God has given me. I forget about how He provides for me every day. He's taken care of me every day of my life since I was born. He's promised to take care of me for all eternity. But if I focus on this hardship, that's what Satan wants us to do. Satan wants us to focus on this, plant that seed of doubt, and then that's going to take us a little bit farther and farther away. We forget God during the hard times when we focus on the hard times. But James tells us that God provides for every good and perfect gift. And we forget those gifts that He gives us every day. And as Christians, how many blessings do you have? How many blessings do we have? We have more than we can count. We can't count them all. Ephesians 1:3, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We have blessings that are innumerable, and we want to focus on this one thing: comfort in hard times. God wants to give us comfort. Life's difficulties remind us that we cannot make it through this life on our own. And just stop and think about this. Sickness comes along, death comes along, family problems, marital problems, job problems. If we could handle all of those on our own, what need would we have for God? People would say, and people do say today, well, I don't need God. But life's difficulties remind the Christian that we cannot make it through life by ourselves. And one of the other things that hardships should bring to our mind, whether it's the death of a loved one, again, the loss of a job, a health situation, is that we have something better waiting for us. 2 Corinthians 4:16-17, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You take all the problems that I mentioned and you add them together, and how does Paul describe them? As a light affliction, but for a moment. Because our life here is so short compared to eternity, and it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Jesus promised in John 14 that He would go and prepare a place for us, and that someday He would come back and take us home to be with Him. And again, without those problems? Would we be thinking of that? Do we want to stay and live in this world where we are surrounded with problems and sorrow and suffering and death and pain, disaster, shootings? The list could go on and on. Or do you want to go to that home that Jesus has prepared for us, where there's no more sickness, no more death, no more pain, no more tears, where all of that will be wiped away? Friends, we need to have the perspective to view this life that it's just a short time, and God has something better waiting for us. We are all going to have ups and downs. Some days we're on the mountaintop, and other days we're in the valley. But we have an advocate. Jesus can help us through each and every day. If we have a good day, what should we do? We should thank God. Do we thank God when we have a good day? If we have a bad day, what should we do? We should talk to God. We should talk to God every day. But if we have a bad day, we should talk to God more instead of repeating our problems to everybody else. That's what God wants us to do. God will take care of us. So we live in a world where people hurt, and all of us go through hardships from time to time. And we need to remember that with these hardships come opportunities to receive God's comforts. And hardships have a way of bringing us to our knees and reminding us of our great need for God's comfort. The Bible teaches us that we can find comfort in hardship. And when we complain about our troubles and our trials, all that we are doing is increasing our anxieties and worries. Complaining about your situation never makes your situation better. And we must remember that there is something better waiting for us. What we see in this life, as we look around in this world that is just temporary, is different than how we should view life. We should view life that God is in control. Friend, are you hurting today? If you are, God is the only one that can help you. Do you think that you can handle life on your own? If you think that you can handle life on your own, you're wrong. You're wrong. God loves you and He wants to give you comfort. But first, you must give your life to Christ, to God. God, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us where there will be no hard times, no pain, sorrow, death. And what we must do is obey Him so that when He comes back, we will be prepared to go to that place. He's made all things possible for us to escape the pain of life, to escape the sentence of our death. But we must obey Him. We must turn to Him. We must put our faith and trust in Him. Friends, don't you want to obey God? Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to do that today? If we can assist anybody in being obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.